The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into today's edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A little later on in the show, Jules and Shaq will be here, I imagine, to say something nice about Manchester City. And also, Ali will be here to say something even nicer, I imagine, about Lionel Messi. We'll start, though, in the Bundesliga. And we thought, no. Leipzig had thrown away the opportunity to keep pushing Bayern Munich. They were 2-0 down at half-time against Borussia Mönchengladbach. But a brilliant second-half performance and a late goal from Sorloth would see them beat Gladbach by 3-2 to continue to put the pressure on Bayern at the top of the table. Jan Agafjortov is with us. Jan, thank goodness we still have a title race. Just.
Thank goodness. To halftime, there were so many analyses of Marco Rose sorting out Gladbach. They will be calm now before he takes over Dortmund. And then Leipzig made the Bundesliga like excited for 2 minutes with the irony at halftime. But thank God. Thank God for everybody neutral, loved the Bundesliga. There was a fantastic second half of RB Leipzig, and they slowly came back. Gladbach more and more tired, had some chances on counter-attacks, but Paulsen and Kuku and Sørloth, there are so many attackers at Leipzig. You haven't scored enough goals after Chicken and Werner left them after last season, but they produced tonight, and we have an excitement. We have a title race in Germany, Dan. Could you imagine saying those words?
I know, but it looked very much unlikely after the first. Why were Leipzig so bad in the first half, Jan?
Yeah, they were bad, having said that, I mean, they had a ball a lot, they didn't create a lot, and Gladbach, unbelievable efficient. Upamecano had one of those halves where he looked like the most clumsy defender being around, after being the most attractive defender around, and Thuram and Hoffmann on penalty made it 2-0, and everything looked like, well, typical Bayern after their gala show earlier on the day. And now we have this situation, Dan. Freiburg against RB Leipzig on Friday. If they win, they're top of the league, at least for 24 hours. Then it's the big game between Bayern Munich and Dortmund.
So as you mentioned, Jan, still 2 points separating Bayern and Leipzig. Let's switch attention to that win, shall we, for Bayern today. They were certainly back to their best. The way this game ended, you felt they could just keep scoring every few minutes.
And they will keep on scoring. I mean, Lewandowski now getting closer to that magic Gerd Müller, 40 goals in a season, scoring 2 goals today. But there was a hope, wasn't there, when they played Bielefeld at home 3-3, losing in Frankfurt against Eintracht, and then they're back to their normal, winning high in the Champions League and then winning 5-1 against Cologne. It's not that like they were like 5 or 6 goals better than them on the pitch, but they're just so efficient. And you had Goretzka, I think he ended up with 3 assists today, Gnabry just scoring for fun, and even Choupo-Moting scoring. So I mean, Bayern will be there all the way, and that is the understatement of the night.
Just put into context what it would mean if Lewandowski reaches that 40 goal mark.
It's unbelievable, but because then you compare yourself with the best goal getters of all time. And yes, you could say that Bayern Munich team was fantastic, but you can say the same about this team. I mean, we are talking about Haaland, Mbappé, Silva, or were all these goal-scoring sensations around Europe at the moment. But Lewandowski is the complete striker, but the goal-getter part of his game is unbelievable too. His hunger and passion for goals is unbelievable. And you saw the way he took the goals today. Finally, they got Thomas Müller on. Took him 14 seconds to make an assist for him. And he just turned around. He knows all the time where he is on the football pitch. And if he beats that record, I still doubt it. But he's getting closer.
Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund turning on in the second half in what proved to be a comfortable win in the end. I tell you what, 2021 Jadon Sancho is very different to the 2020 Jadon Sancho. It's just like Christmas. He pressed the reset button. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think that 2020, Sancho, at least the half of it was very influenced with what all that happened around the last summer. Manchester United being on the phone all the time, 120 million, 100 million euro. But now he's on fire. And the way he's playing at the moment, he's playing with all his strength, all the passion. He's running all the time. His body language has turned like 180 degrees. Unbelievable. And I also today, Rainer, who scored that goal. And I think that sums up the way Dortmund is playing at the moment. Erling Haaland, I'm not sorry putting in another Norwegian after Sørloth scored for Leipzig later tonight, but then Erling Haaland, one against the goalkeeper, typical goal-getter, will try himself, just give the ball away. And I think that sums up that Dortmund at the moment. They won three games in a row. Edin Terzic being under pressure as being a lame duck after the appointment of Marco Rose, but they are back on track, and now they're only 3 points behind Eintracht Frankfurt for that very, very valuable Champions League place.
Will they make it, Jan?
Yes, I think they will, because I don't think... 11 games Eintracht Frankfurt had and with no losses, 5 wins in a row, then losing it to Werder Bremen. And as long as they can keep on winning these kind of games, which has been difficult for them, the lower teams like Bielefeld today, then they will keep on doing it. But mind you, next game, it's Frankfurt against Stuttgart. That could be a Frankfurt win. And Dortmund in Munich. And then we can have that 6 points again, because Wolfsburg are winning games just like behind everybody, under the radar of everybody. So they could end up taking that third place in the Bundesliga.
Jan Agerfjordtorf, as always, thank you very much for your time. For a lot more analysis on the Bundesliga, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe at ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Turning our attention to La Liga, really impressive win for Barcelona today, away against Sevilla. Ronald Koeman's side winning by 2-0. Lionel Messi and Dembele getting the goals. Jules and Ali with us. Ali, this was good from Barca against the Sevilla side, who've been strong defensively this season.
As disappointing a performance as it was against Cadiz, in which you gave up seemingly the opportunity to get back on the title race, this was far more encouraging for Barcelona against Sevilla, and a team in Sevilla that had created problems for Barcelona in the past. Listen, what we saw today from Barcelona, first of all, a couple of things that I thought were important. Ronald Koeman makes a change in the formation, kind of tweaks it a little bit. They play sort of a hybrid formation with the back three, but Mingueza really covering a lot of space on the central position onto the right-hand side. That frees up Dest to get forward. It also puts Dembele higher up the field in a more central position, being the highest man in the attack for Barcelona. What does that do? For the first time in a long time that I can remember, Barcelona actually gets in behind somebody, actually challenge a team vertically. And that's where the first goal came from. Lionel Messi, for some odd reason, is allowed to turn with time and space, gets his head up, and then finds the through ball to Dembele, up 1-0. But you never really see that from Barcelona. It's always sideways and back, sideways and back. But that verticality, that ball going forward, you rarely see. And the other thing that I thought was important today was the attitude of Lionel Messi. Not the cleanest game he's ever had, but what I can tell you is that a guy that was turning the ball over and was the first one to go and try to challenge and get the ball back. That, I thought, was something to really pay attention to, because that energy and that level of commitment from Lionel Messi is not always there. At least you don't see that, you don't perceive that in every game. But today we saw that, and the second goal was an example of that, where it's a little bit of a touch and tackle. It's a good play with Ilaish, and then he's able to get into the box. He misses the first attempt, but continues, stays with the play and finishes. I thought it was an excellent performer from Barcelona.
Jules, you've been one of the harshest critics of Ronald Koeman. He got it right today.
He got it right completely, Dan. You're right. Ali explained very well the change in the formation, the tactics. That worked really well. I like that Dembele was in that position because it's good when you can play him that way, as well as on the wing. On the wing, he's at times not effective enough, but when you play him centrally like this with his pace and those runs that he can make, certainly he's a completely different threat. And I thought Koeman got it as right as Lopetegui got it wrong. I don't understand how Luke de Jong can start a game like this when you know how high the back line from Barcelona will be and he never runs in behind. So Enesiri would have made far more sense to start in a game like this than Luke de Jong, and I still don't know how Rakitic is still playing football for Sevilla. I mean, these guys should not be in that team anymore. They've got real problems in midfield and Rakitic doesn't help. So great for Koeman and Barcelona and from Messi and Dembele, and not so good at all, I thought, from Lopetegui and Sevilla.
Barcelona just 2 points now, Atleti at the top of the table. Granted, Atleti do have 2 games in hand, Ali. Barca in this title race?
They would have been right smack in the middle of the title race had they not lost points to Cadiz. I think right now they're on the fringes. Not only do they have to jump past Atletico Madrid, but let's not forget that right in front of them is Real Madrid as well, who, with all their issues and absences and injuries and what have you, they're still right there, and they've been sort of the toughest team that, in terms of what we have seen over the last couple of weeks, because even though they've had absences, they continue to roll 3 points after 3 points. They are the ones that Barcelona need to catch first, and then they can think about Atletico Madrid.
Do you agree, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. The big thing tonight as well after the game is that they finally did it against a big team, because so far they were terrible against PSG in the Champions League, of course, but also in La Liga. They lost to Atleti and to Real Madrid. They drew 0-0 with Sevilla at home. They lost to Sevilla in the Copa del Rey. They lost to Athletic Bilbao in the Supercopa final. So all those big games, they never showed for them. They were never there, never delivered until today. And I wonder how good psychologically this win will be for them. And let's not forget, next week is the Madrid derby, and in that derby maybe Atleti will drop points, then Barca will host Atleti as well later in the season. They will have to go to Valdebebas as well to play against Real Madrid, so there's still a lot of points to be won and others can lose, but they will have to be far more consistent than they've been so far this season.
Who will Barcelona want?
And also, Dan, the other thing that you can't forget about is the fact of the schedule tomorrow and Monday. Yep. When you consider that Atletico Madrid is playing against Villarreal, that you consider that Real Madrid is playing against Real Sociedad. So it's an opportunity for these teams to drop some points. And then, of course, you go to the Madrid derby, and then there may be some extra pressure there on Atletico Madrid. And Barcelona will be cheering as hard as they possibly can for a draw in that game. So both teams loses points, and then they get right into the title race.
In Italy, a Cristiano Ronaldo goal looked like it would be enough to give Juventus a win against Hellas Verona, but a late equaliser for the host would see the spoils shared, and that is a real kick in Juventus' title defence. They now are 7 points adrift of Inter Milan, Milan in second. Ali Moreno with us. Big drop points for Juve, obviously, Ali.
Huge. Absolutely huge from Juventus' perspective, and it's not so much the points in themselves, it's the way and the manner in which it happened. The first 45 minutes in this game were horrendous, and I mean it was hard work watching this game. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing from Juventus, nothing coming through the midfield, a little bit of something from Kulusevski, a little bit of something from Chiesa, nothing from Ronaldo. We go into halftime, you're thinking, man, there's just not much that you can highlight about this team and look at this team play and watch them play and say, yeah, you know what? They're challenging for a title. No chance. They come back out in the second half, a little bit better intensity and urgency in the beginning of the second half. Verona not quite where they needed to be. Good play by Chiesa, finds Ronaldo 1-0, and you would think that that's enough. But the worst thing is that Juventus thought that that was enough, because they stopped playing. They went back to whatever they were doing in the first half. And I cannot tell you how underwhelming the performances through the midfield from Rabiot, Bentancur, Ramsey. They don't really control the game going forward. They don't really do enough work defensively going the other direction. And then they force a makeshift back line to try to figure it out. Verona kept pushing just enough to put a ball into the box, but Ajax scores a 1-1, and there was never really a reaction coming from Juventus. This team does not, and I mean does not, have any sort of look of any champion or a title contender whatsoever. Today was just very, very poor from Juventus.
How much could you give Pirlo a pass, though? What, no Morata, Dybala, Arthur, Chiellini, Bonucci, Cuadrado, all out?
Sure, we can choose to give him a pass, but still the team that was out on the field should be better than Verona, and particularly when you're already up 1-0. It's just the lack of control throughout the game, their inability to have long stretches of possession that are actually productive possession, not just passing the ball just for the sake of passing the ball. You had done enough to win the game. Look, it's not a perfect situation. Yes, there are injuries. Yes, there are problems for Juventus. But you're up 1-0 and you need 3 points. So I equate this to the situation with Real Madrid, where they have their absences, they have their injuries, and yet they find ways to get results. It's not pretty. It's not sexy. Nobody's going to give them an award for being the most entertaining team. But they've shown some character, some toughness in closing out matches. You didn't see that today from Juventus. They just allow Verona, a very limited team offensively, to just kind of push forward. And there was nothing from Juventus and saying, no. Look, we're going to close it out. We're going to see it out. It's 1-0. See you guys later. None of that. And if you're going to challenge for a title, if you're going to put pressure on Inter and Milan, you have to win this sort of games. They did not. And they are waving goodbye to whatever chances they had.
Thanks, Ali. So it's Atleti against Villarreal tomorrow in Italy. Roma against Milan. We'll be discussing both of those matches on the next edition of the show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Manchester City made it 20 wins in a row, beating West Ham by 2-1. Shaqir Hislop and Julien Laurent with me to discuss this. Jules, it was a slightly different team. Obviously, Pep put out Aguero up front. Kevin De Bruyne starting for the first time in a while after his injury. And they didn't look that convincing, did they? But they get it done.
No, you're right. 7 changes compared to the last the team that beat Mönchengladbach in the Champions League in midweek, and you saw the difference because we told already on the show how João Cancelo has been amazing for Manchester City, especially in the last few weeks. And without him, it's a different way of playing. It's a different way of defending, of attacking. The press is different. The intensity is different. Same with without Bernardo Silva, who was rested for that game as well. So you can understand why it was a different kind of performance, but yet even not being at their best, even with all those changes, they still managed to beat the team that is fourth in the table, and it's incredible. That run is just absolute greatness in all sense of the words.
What would you like to say about this game, Shaqir Hislop?
We were discussing West Ham's prospects to finish in top four earlier this week, and Don made the point that he would like to see West Ham come out and play, have a go, almost regardless of result. I think West Ham did that and came very close to nicking a point. I would biasly argue even a deserved point. City get 2 goals from 2 centre-backs following set pieces. But I thought West Ham, showing the form that they showed all season long, put up a sterner test that City have faced at the very least for this calendar year. And I think if you're sitting in that West Ham dressing room, you know you're beaten by a better team, but there's not a whole lot in it.
Should the keeper have come for the ball played in by De Bruyne for the opener, Shaq?
It didn't surprise me not to see Randolph come. Let's keep in mind, this is only his second start of the season. And when you haven't played or you come in as infrequently as Randolph has, you want to take your time and work your way into the game, work your way into the team, so you earn the side of caution. Coming for that, only a keeper in the best of form with the fullest of confidence, I think gets anywhere near it. As I say, I understand why Randolph erred on the side of caution.
Anything else on this, Jules?
Well, just to back up what Shaka just said, the expected goals were much higher for West Ham, who had, to be fair, the best chances than City. He's just quickly on Gundogan, because Gundogan had been the star and certainly one of the leaders and one of the reasons why City have been so good in the last few weeks. With De Bruyne coming back, with Sergio Aguero being there as well, it's a very different role again for Gundogan, and we saw him playing much deeper. Rodri wasn't there either, and it's, again, not the same team when Rodri isn't there compared to when Fernandinho is there. And I think for Gundogan, we didn't see the same runs that he usually makes in the box. We didn't see his presence in there in the last 30 yards because he can't do it as much as he used to when De Bruyne was out. Now that De Bruyne is back, and especially when they don't play with a false number nine like they used to. So again, going forward, I think Pep will have to sort of manage how you use Gundogan when De Bruyne is there, when De Bruyne isn't there, when there's no number nine, when there's a number nine. And I think, again, I think you can expect a very different City going forwards, depending on if Cancelo is there, Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, and all those changes that Pep can make from one game to another.
Great stuff, guys. If you want more from Jules and Shaka, be sure to check out Extra Time. They'll be answering your tweets over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. As always, Extra Time is next. Jules and Shaka answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Julien Laurent and Shaka Hislop with us. Oh, let's start with a nice simple one. Is Messi still the best player in the world? Jules.
I love those questions. Is he the best player in the world still? Yeah, he is. Of course he is. I mean, you're not the GOAT and then stop being the GOAT and stop being the best. I think it's a dysfunctional team, as we know. They played well today, to be fair, and they deserve to win. And I thought he was great at times. So, yeah, of course, he's still great, and so is Cristiano. It's just that there are other players that are becoming great at some point we'll take over.
Wait, the question is he the best player in the world at the moment, Jules?
Did you see how I tried to just like...
Yes, I heard it.
Not answer.
Don't worry. Politician.
No, I mean, Kylian Mbappe is the best in the world. That's you know, period.
Where's he from, that Kylian Mbappe chap, John?
I had to say it.
I don't know. Right, Shaka. Is Lionel Messi the best player in the world?
Yes. If I'm picking a team, all things being even,
yep,
money, age, all that, not a factor, or long-term, yes, longevity of the player is not a factor. If I'm picking one player right now, it's Lionel Messi.
Who's second, Shaq?
Or the first player I pick is Lionel Messi. Huh?
Who's second?
Who's second? You know, I'd still have Cristiano Ronaldo second. I don't think I'd have anybody else above him.
Yeah, take that, Kylian Mbappe. Hey, Jules. If Manchester City is to play the Champions League final with Bayern Munich tomorrow, which team is winning?
Ooh. I think it's Man City. I really do. And I think Bayern are great and they still have a lot in them, even if at times in the Bundesliga it's been a bit on and off. I still think when the big games arrive, they will be there. I just think City have something different. The way they play, all that confidence that they're getting, all that momentum. And if Aguero comes back fully fit and really firing, same with De Bruyne. You know, if they've got no injuries between now and the end of the season, between now and the potential Champions League final, I just cannot see anyone beating them. I don't believe that a back four of Niklas Süle, Jerome Boateng, David Alaba and Alphonso Davies can stop Manchester City, like beating them, scoring goals and overplaying them. I just cannot see right now who can stop them.
Jack?
I agree. I think if they play right now, if they play Wednesday of next week, I think City beat them. I think as good as Bayern have been going forward over the last couple of games, Cologne today included, I think you saw again today, as you saw against Lazio, a little bit of a disconnect between Alaba and Boateng defensively. I don't think you can afford that against City, the form they're in.
What's that picture over your right shoulder, Shaq? Like some sort of caricature, that's new. Who's that?
It's a card I got from AFJA Foundation. I know the guy who runs it. They do incredible work in Central America, and these are some of the cards that the kids in that academy produced, so I put one up.
Oh, very nice, Shaq. Should Lee Mason... Oh, wait, no. Jules, do you think it's still a priority for Manchester United to sign Sancho despite signing Diallo? I don't think he's a need as a defensive midfielder. A striker or maybe a centre-back should be their first areas of improvement.
That's a good point. I think that's a really good point. Don't forget as well the new deal for Mason Greenwood, which you have to take in consideration, even if you can think that Greenwood and Ahmed Diallo are not at the level of Jadon Sancho right now, and we saw again with Dortmund today how good he is. But I still think that you never have too many great players anyway. So if you can afford a Sancho as well as the other positions that you want to strengthen, go for him. Of course you go for him. He's still better than Diallo, he's still better than Greenwood. It's almost a different profile to Greenwood anyway. And Diallo, I think Diallo will still need a bit more time before he can break into the first team and be consistent and at that kind of level anyway. So if you ask me, if they only have money for a right winger, a Sancho and a centre back, okay, I think centre-back has to go first, but I'm sure they can find money for both, and then in that case, go for Sancho as well every day.
Not much happened in the Premier League today. The big talking point almost was Lee Mason, who, of course, blew the whistle for the free kick to be taken. The free kick was scored, and then he blew it again quickly before it crossed the line. Say, wait, no, it wasn't ready. So should he be suspended for his royal screw-up, Shaq?
Yes. Do referees get suspended when they screw up royally, as you put it down? If the answer is yes, that they have to serve some kind of a period on the sidelines, then absolutely. I thought it was a joke of a refereeing decision. I really don't know how to explain it, let alone excuse it.
I like that he kind of went to VAR, Jules, to try and save him. And he's like, you're the one who blew the whistle twice.
I thought Lee Mason had stopped referring. I thought he had retired a long time ago. And to be fair, on today's game, I think he should have had. And VAR can't save you, mate, when you do mistakes like this anyway. I mean, this is something that you see at like amateur's level, that you see on a Sunday morning, like 2 minutes from my house, not that you see in the Premier League. This is unreal. This is completely unreal. I could not believe what I was seeing, really. Like, we're talking about the best league in the world, the best football players, the best football teams, and you've got those kind of refereeing those games. It's just not possible. It doesn't add up.
Oh, here's a player we haven't talked about for a while, which is good because I always mispronounce his name. Jules, what happened to Houssem Aouar over the summer? It seemed like he was one of the top young players in the game and linked to many moves, but recently I haven't heard anything about him or linked to any big clubs as I did before.
Who are you talking about?
Houssam.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. That was really mean. Houssam Aouar.
Yeah, Houssam Aouar. I'm supposed to be able to pronounce names. It's my job. It's fair. I did a lovely job.
You did quite well. I'm much better, and I'm sure Shaka remembers, much better than the first time that you said his name, which sounded like, I'm not sure, but anything but his name. You know what? Lyon, if Lyon are second in the table right now, it's because of Houssam Aouar as well, because maybe he didn't have the impact that he showed in the final eight of the Champions League, for example, or in the two games against Juventus in the last 16 before that quarterfinal against City, and then the semi-final against Bayern. But he's been still quite good in how much he's bringing to this Lyon team and in Ligue 1 as well. And the sort of the whole fluidity and that collective strength that Lyon have been having this season, which explains why they're in the title race and why they've been doing so well, is also because he's been there. He's been the link between everything. He's such an intelligent, gifted, technically player that he's been a key part in that team. So maybe if you just look at the stats, or if you just look at for his name in terms of goals and assists, he's not really there. But trust me, if you watch all the Lyon games, he's been such a key part of how good they've been collectively this season, and that's why they could win the title.
Final question, Jules, with the Euros coming soon, what centre-back pairing would you start? Laporte isn't getting much game time, with Stones and Diaz in the form they're in. Longley and Umtiti are in bad form as well, so who are you taking?
It's great because, as you know, we have so much depth in talent in those positions. It's incredible. And a lot of them, like Wesley Fofana from Leicester, like Jules Koundé from Sevilla, have never even been called up. Same with Konate at Leipzig and Mukiele at Leipzig as well. I think right now, even if he makes a mistake, I would go with Upamecano, partnered with Varane at centre-back, the two centre-backs, because I think they complement each other really well. I like the idea of a right foot, left foot, which is not their case, and I think that's why Deschamps like the Varane-Umtiti partnership, the Varane-Longley partnership as well. But both Longley and Umtiti are obviously not doing well for different reasons. Laporte, Deschamps has never been a big fan, and I'm not really sure why. But I think Upamecano and Varane will be pretty solid for the Euros.
What do you think, Shaq?
Yes.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much, guys, as always, for staying late with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Lots going on tomorrow, of course. Roma against Milan. Also, it is Manchester United against Chelsea.